Friends, as we come to this portion of God's Word in Exodus chapter 15, I trust that you know the background to it. But let me remind you what has taken place in this passage. After God had graciously delivered the children of Israel across the Red Sea, miraculously opening a path for them in the sea, and then drowning Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt in the depths of the sea, he brought Israel into a wilderness, which was called Shur. And in Exodus 12, you will read of it. It tells us that there were about 600,000 fighting men who came out of Egypt. And when you calculate it, you'll realize there were at least 2.5 to 3 million people would have come out of Israel. The modernists and those who don't really believe the Bible, they say, well, you can't really move so many people at the same time. But, my friends, the Bible says it. It is true. And now this large number were for 3 days wandering without water. They were not like our situation where you can go and just buy water. You can just get bottles of water. They were dependent on the land in which they were traveling. And what they could carry with them was only temporary. It was limited. And you imagine this amount of people without water. There is the scorching sun beating upon them. Their cattle were perishing. Their children's tongues were swollen and their lips were parched. They had roamed for 3 days in this barren wilderness without water. And then at last, they come to this plentiful fountain of water. There is water now. They must have been so happy to see it. And as they approach this place, which then later on is called Marah, they come and taste the water. And they could almost, as it were, feel the cool, the refreshing water in their mouth. But when they go there and they actually see it and taste it for themselves, they can't drink it. They can't drink it. There is something in the water. There is something that causes that bitterness. Can you imagine the frustration? Can you imagine the disappointment that these men and women and the children, and you imagine your child is crying. And those of you with young children, you know it. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're making lots of noise. So it must have been a very noisy place as well. You might think about, well, the noise of children in the congregation here. Well, it's a wonderful thing to hear children cry. To a limit, obviously. But it is a wonderful thing to have that. But you think about this 3 million people, thousands upon thousands of children thirsty, and the parents are disappointed. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so immediately they begin to find fault. Immediately they turn on Moses and they begin to murmur and they begin to complain. And actually, they are not turning to Moses, they are turning against God. That's what it is. They're turning upon the Lord who had brought them into this place. Though the Lord had led them by the fiery and the cloudy pillars, though he was with them, he had promised to be with them, though he had miraculously and graciously delivered them from the bondage that they were in Egypt, and though he had promised to do them good, they couldn't see him in it. They couldn't see the goodness of God. All they could see, all they could think about was the bitter waters before them and the thirst that was within them. Because they saw nothing good. They saw nothing good in God's providence. And oftentimes that's the case. We don't see the good in the things that we are in, the troubles that we are in. And it is very hard to see. It's a human nature. There's nothing wrong with you when you see the troubles and the bitterness and your soul is grieved. I would say to you, don't beat yourself up over that. It's a natural response. But it is when we just stop there, that's the problem. Yes, they could admit the waters were bitter. They were facing horrible situation, and they had all these children crying out, and their cattle would be dying if they didn't get water. But they didn't have to murmur, did they? They didn't have to complain and turn against Moses, did they? Do you know anything like this? I don't know what, well, some of you, I do know the difficulties that you're in. I do know some of you who are going through great tribulation, great suffering. Your heart is breaking. You're overloaded with burdens. And right now, even today, you don't know what to do about it. I know about that. But then there are those of you who I don't know anything about, but the Lord knows. But maybe you are there and you are looking at the providence of God and you say to yourself, why? Why? And how did I get to this place? And maybe you're blaming yourself. Maybe you're blaming somebody else. Your decisions that you have made. But ultimately you think, I wish I wasn't in this providence of God. Do you know anything or anyone like this? When they should have remembered God's goodness, when they should have remembered how God had been gracious to them, they thought only on their troubles. Don't let your troubles drown you, my friends. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Look to Jesus Christ. When they should have looked to their merciful deliverer, they looked only on the Marah's bitter waters. When they should have prayed, they murmured. When they should have sought the Lord, they talked to each other. When they should have believed, they grumbled. In Psalm 78, it says this about this matter in verse 38. But God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. God could have destroyed them, the psalmist is saying. For he remembered that they were but flesh. Now, we are living in a world that is unhappy, disappointed. And we can be like that too. There is so much sadness. And what we find people doing, they can easily blame God for that. And people don't really want answers. I'm talking about people who are not really thinking spiritually here. They don't want answers. They don't really want to wait and see if the problem is with humanity. But they say, well, look at the bitter things in my life. Look at the bitter things that has happened in this world and the people that I know. And if there was a God of love, then he would not let these sad things happen, they would say. But now, remember that it was God who brought Israel to Marah. They didn't drift into Marah. God brought them. God led them. He brought them here to teach them, to make himself known to them. And it is here that he reveals his name to them. Jehovah Rapha in verse 26. And he does these things to teach us too. He's given us a record of these things to teach us as well. The apostle says, all these things happened unto them for ensamples. As examples for us, and they are written for our admonition. It is exhorting us, it is challenging us and encouraging us. So look at verses 25 and 26 of Exodus 15 again. It says this, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. This is Moses. Which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And then he says this, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Or literally, I the Lord that heals. I the Lord the healer. Jehovah Rapha it is. The Lord that heals. Now I want to look at this this name of the Lord, Jehovah that heals, Jehovah Rapha. And there are three things that I want you to notice from this. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, is the healer of all our troubles. That's the first thing. Jehovah Rapha, secondly, is the healer of all of our sicknesses. And thirdly, Jehovah Rapha is the healer of our souls. So those are the three things. And first of all, Jehovah Rapha is the healer of all our troubles. He says here, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And friends, who among you has not learned by bitter experience that though our days on earth be few, though your life is so short in this world, they are full of trouble. They are full of trouble. You young people, children, you've only been around for a few years, and yet you are going from this trouble to that trouble, and from this worry to that worry. There are people with troubled consciences. There are people who have troubled bodies, and there are people with troubled circumstances. We all fit into somewhere in that category. And oftentimes people go about not knowing what to do, where to turn. Maybe there is no hope. They might think to themselves, as these people, they arrived there all of the 3 days' journey, and they were in the desert, and all they could find is water that they could not drink. It is like trying to drink the water from the sea. You would become sick and you would die from it. But remember God's name here. God reveals His name in this situation. And God reveals Himself in situations that we find ourselves in. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And let me tell you of this experience that I've had. And those of you who are Christians, you can also say of the same in the words of the psalmist, of this experience of God healing us from our trouble of sin. This poor man cried, the psalmist says in Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Not some of his troubles, but all of his troubles. And when the children of Israel, friends, came to Marah, they found themselves in great trouble. The waters were bitter. They were dying of thirst, and they had nothing to drink. They seemed to be mocked. It's as if God is mocking them. There was plenty of water there, but not an ounce to drink. Then God intervened. He delivered them from all their trouble in that situation by healing Marah's bitter waters. And friends, the Lord makes our waters of bitter trouble sweet in many ways. You think about it. And we will come to it later on. But that tree, the Lord shows him of that tree. And that's a type of Jesus Christ. The tree upon which Jesus Christ died. There's a spiritual lesson here. But let's think about this. The Lord makes our bitter waters sweet in many ways. Sometimes the Lord simply changes our circumstances, and you've experienced that, I'm sure. How often have you been so sorely oppressed that you thought you couldn't endure another day of abuse, another day of this pressure? But just when it looked as though you could, you were being overcome, the Lord removed the oppressor. The Lord removed that situation. The Lord took you out of the reach of that situation. You may reach a point that you don't know what to do about the situation. And then it is that for the believer, God often steps in and changes the situation. He opens a way before you. As they had approached the Red Sea, there was no way open. But God opened. He intervened at the last minute. And so He then takes you by the hand and He says to you, this is the way. Walk in it. I found a way. There's a way out of this. But what about the spiritual circumstances? Our whole circumstances and state of heart, it must be changed. And you might be filled with all kinds of doubts and fears, and the burden of sin is crushing you. Everything you see, it's, you can see the troubles and you see this, the consequences of your own bad decisions and sinful decisions. When you wanted to have your own way and you did certain things and now you see all bitterness in it. And you see the state of your own heart. How can God change it? How can you change it? Well, you can't change it. It doesn't just need some adjustments. There must be a total change that God must bring about in the soul of man. And this is God's work, my friends. And so this is where, don't do what these Israelites did, murmuring. Cry out to God, Lord, save me. Lord, change my spiritual condition. And then something else we could think about. At other times, the Lord turns our sorrows to joy and makes our bitter water sweet. He showed Moses a tree and commanded him to throw it into the waters. And the scripture says here, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. It was a miracle. The waters which Israel could not endure before became sweet to them because of the tree. The tree, of course, as I said to you, is a reference to the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. And no doubt this tree had always been there. It had been there before. It didn't just appear overnight. It was there before. But no one had used it for good. Maybe people had come by that place, that Mara, and they saw the tree, but they never used it. The salvation was at their reach, and they never used it. But God had to show it. God had to show it. And God has to show that to you as well, and to me too. He showed it to Moses. And our Lord Jesus Christ is ever present with us in our troubles. And he sees our soul's troubles with sin and with guilt. But until, my friends, he reveals himself, and until he interjects himself, we can't see him. And so you cry out to him, Lord, I can't see. I'm still blind if you are not converted. And say, Lord, give me sight. Like those people who cried out, saying, I want to see. I want to see. Have you come to see the Lord Jesus Christ in your troubles? Have you come to see that in his death, your sins were laid upon him when he died on the cross? Can you see that by faith? My friend, sin is very bitter. Sin is very bitter and it's made our lives bitter. But Jesus died to take it away and change our guilt and shame into glory and in his goodness and in his holiness and righteousness and by saving us. And so for some of us, maybe it was your illness that was the point at which you began to seek God. Maybe there was a death in your family. Maybe there was a marriage problem. But with all of us, we must at the end feel this bitterness. Sin has caused life to be very bitter and horrible. And it has become so bitter that we don't even approach God by ourselves. Oh, we would find religion and we would find some false way, but not truly seeking the Lord. My friends, I hope you see the sweetness and the love of God for sinners like us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who had to be cut down as that tree was cut down, to be thrown into the water. Jesus Christ to make our life to be sweet and to take away our sin and change us. He had to be cut down at the cross, giving his life. The second thing is this. So Jehovah Rapha is the healer of all our troubles. But Jehovah Rapha is the healer of all our sicknesses. Look at it again. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Certainly, sickness and disease are included in God's promises. And they are specifically named. Now, we are not amongst those people who claim to have gifts of healing.
We don't believe in those apostolic gifts that were given to individuals. Yes, of course we believe God heals. But we go directly to God. We don't go to some sort of a priest. We don't go to some sort of a person to then say, well, this person has the gift of healing. No, no. We go to the healer who is the Lord himself. And I would say that no man today possesses that kind of apostolic gifts. But we should not, with that knowledge, we should not deny this fact that God heals today. We shouldn't diminish its fullness. The name of our God, our Savior, is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth thee. And so this text certainly assures you that all sickness, all diseases is the result of sin. It's the result of sin. You look at verse 26 again. This is what God says. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Do you see? It's plainly stated that if we had no sin, we would have no disease. If we were perfectly righteous, if we were perfectly obedient, if we were perfectly sinless, we would never get sick. All men get sick. All men die, young and old. Because all are sinners. But God is a healer who will heal those who have broken his laws. He will save us by his grace. And so the Christian has nothing to fear, either from sickness or death. Yet the Lord our God, friends, Jehovah Rapha, does heal his people and does heal from bodily sicknesses and diseases. Often the Lord heals us of sicknesses and diseases by graciously preventing them. By graciously preventing them. Sometimes we don't appreciate that. God prevented it to happen. You were in a certain situation and God kept you and helped you. The psalmist says in Psalm 91 these words, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So it's saying he prevents us from sickness. And we don't often think of it, but God's prevention of disease ought to be as much a matter of praise as him curing us and healing us. How often he has kept you. We see also the healing hand of the Lord more clearly when we have been sick and graciously God has restored us to health. And so let us never attribute and praise merely the medicine and the doctors. But let us, with all of their cleverness, let us turn our hearts to God in thanksgiving and in praise to God. Lord, thou hast been merciful to me. It's God alone who wounds, and it is God alone who heals. So let God be glorified. Praise God in it. And so when you were ill and you were made better, did you thank God? Did you say to your doctor, oh, it was this that helped me? But to say, but it was God who healed me. So, friends, it's a challenge, isn't it? But also, we could think that our text shows that us plainly, if we apply it and take it, that God has uses and chooses means for the healing of the sick. He used the tree. He doesn't just say to Moses, go and I will make this water sweet, but he uses this tree. God could have simply said it, and the waters would make sweet. And imagine if Moses didn't listen. Imagine if Moses didn't throw this tree into the water. What would happen? The waters would not be healed. So the use of means doesn't hinder faith. It proves faith that we are trusting in the Lord. And so believing God Moses took a worthless tree and cast it into the water. And then the waters were healed. It was a miracle, but God uses the tree. And this is the first mention of healing that is mentioned in the Bible. And it was done by the use of means. And the healing was done by God. So the tree itself didn't have healing powers, but God used the tree to accomplish the healing. And you think about prayer, you think about the Word of God. Do you think it is our prayers that heals? Do you think it is your prayers that somehow you pray and something happens? Your prayers are just mere words. But it's God who hears it. He uses the means of prayer to then bless you. He uses the words of the scripture. Do you think it is just simply carrying a book in our hands and pages that are printed in our hands that will bring about a blessing? Some people think that is the case. And you see sometimes that you go and there is a taxi driver with a cross dangling on his wing mirror and so on. And does that bring blessing? It is the cross of Jesus Christ upon which he died brings a blessing as I trust in him and repent of my sins. But God uses means. Don't forget that. And he says, I am Jehovah. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Now let me finish with this. Yes, Jehovah Rapha is the healer of all our troubles. Jehovah Rapha is the healer of all of our sicknesses, but Jehovah Rapha is the healer of our souls as well. These bitter waters of Marah are pictures of the bitter curses of God's law. And the bitterness of it is that it condemns us. It condemns us. It shows us as being sinners. You see, when you read the Bible, it doesn't always make you happy. It makes you grieved. I remember the times I used to read through Romans, and it made me unhappy. And it made me very depressed. Look at my life, and it's exposing me. And I you see, all of us, to some degree, we don't want to be exposed to people. We don't want our troubles, or, you know, we want our the skeletons to remain in our closets. That's what we want. Because we would feel ashamed in front of people. But God has a way through his word to expose all of these things for our own good. He uncovers the bandage and he says, look, the wound is filthy. It needs to be healed. It needs to be cleansed. And that's the law of God, brings this bitterness to your soul. So when you read something, when you hear a sermon and it upsets you, realize that it is from the Lord. It is from the Lord. This bitterness of sin needs to be seen by us. And even the bitterness of death and the bitterness of hell. And that doesn't give us peace. But my friends, in the midst of it, the Lord shows you a tree upon which the Lord Jesus Christ died. And you see there that Jesus Christ upon that tree became a tree of life for sinners. And where Jesus was made a curse for us. He bore the wrath of God and he was punished instead of us. And you see, dear friends, you might feel condemned. You might feel damned. You might feel that God is punishing you. But you think Jesus Christ was the one who was immersed under the wrath of God. Immersed under the law of God, which we had broken. But he had not broken any of them. He was made a curse for us, the scripture says. And he endured in our place the bitter wrath of God. And he suffered the bitter curses of the law to fully pay and satisfy God's justice. And now the law of God, once it was so bitter to us, now, as the psalmist says, we delight in it. It has become sweet to us. It has become pleasant to us. It is lovely and comforting. Because it is now fully satisfied in Jesus Christ. So you read the scriptures then, And you see, it's all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It is all fulfilled with all of my shames, with all of my failings and shortcomings, and even in the things that the Lord commands me to do, and I fail in it day by day. Yet every night I think to myself, and yet Jesus fully kept it for me. So it doesn't threaten me, but it reminds me of the Savior. Friends, how is it that God heals the sin-sick soul, this bitter soul of ours? How does He remove the plagues of our hearts? Look to that bitterness of Mara again, and you see the answer. The Lord, first of all, made the people know how bitter the water was. They had to go and taste it. They couldn't see it. It was just like any other water. But they had to go and taste. And they said it was there was no healing for that water. There was bitterness in it. And it tasted bitter to them. How could that water be made sweet? But once they knew how bitter it was, naturally, the Lord's revelation of that tree became their only hope. And that's what exactly happens in conversion, in salvation. The Lord makes sin bitter to us. Or at least we see the wonderful beauty of Jesus Christ, and we see how altogether lovely He is. What He has done for our soul. And before we ever knew Him, Jesus Christ died for His own people. He made us see the corruption and the wretchedness of our own sinfulness by nature. Then it is that from the heart we cry out to Him, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Then it is that He heals us by His grace. And this is God's way with men. First He wounds, then He heals. First He strips us of all of our self-righteousness, then He clothes us with Christ's righteousness. First He humbles us, then He exalts. First He kills, as it were, then He makes alive. But also, before the waters were healed, prayer was made to God. Prayer was made to God. Moses prayed. Moses cried out. And let me say that the prayer of Moses didn't heal the waters. But until he called upon the name of the Lord, the waters were not healed. And you won't be healed, my friends, spiritually from your sin and your heart's plague until you call upon God for mercy through Jesus Christ. You can talk about it as much as you want. You can listen to sermons as much as you want. You can listen to and read books as much as you want and read tracts and come to church as much as you want. But until you call upon the Lord for mercy, you will not be healed. You remember that blind Bartimaeus sitting there, and he said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." The woman with the issue of blood, she reached, she was thinking, praying in her mind, "Only if I could touch him." Still something else was needed. The waters were not healed until the tree was cast into them. And as I said, you know what the tree represents. It speaks of two things. It's the tree is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And it's a picture of the cross on which our Savior put away our sins and brought us righteousness forever. We can only be saved, healed of our soul's plague and bitterness when the work of Jesus Christ covers us. And if He is cast into us, Jesus must enter us. We can't simply open our hearts. How can a sinner who is dead open his heart? You must say, "Lord, open mine eyes. Open my heart." That's the right kind of prayer that should be prayed. Jesus Christ's work must be imputed in us. He must be cast into us. And we are saved when Christ Himself comes into us then by the power of His Spirit. And once again, the tree was cast into the waters, and then they were completely healed. It wasn't just like, I remember as a child going to some place, and there would be some sheep or goats drinking water from one end of the lake. And then we say, "Well, we won't go there because it's all muddy, but we'll come this side." It's not like that, but all of it was made pure. All of it was made healthy. All of it was made sweet. So the waters of Mara, which was once so vile and bitter, were made altogether sweet once that tree was cast in it. And those people who are truly made Christians by God's grace, so vile and bitter themselves, are made in the sight of God perfect and holy. Once they have Christ, once they have His work put on them. In this world, yes, they still carry on this flesh of sin. And we have the battle going on until we die. But one day we will enter into that land where there will be no more sin, no more sorrow. So this is the name of our God, which is the name of Jesus Christ. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. He healed all of our troubles. He heals all of our sicknesses. He heals all of our souls. So trust in Him then. Don't just look at the outward things. Look at what is talking to you spiritually. He can and will heal your soul by the power of His grace. Amen.